Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. I might have a pitch that could be a little wild.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
What if Walter's role, assigned role, was principal?
Ooh.
And I think that thing that's different is, like, there's a long wait. It's normally the sound of, like, slapping of something, like, onto your plate, but that doesn't happen.
I think he looks up then.
When you look up, it is not any of the lunch people you have seen before. Standing, like, in the space of where a lunch person should be is this large, shadowy figure. Like, within the nothing, an eye opens. All of the eyes are looking at you.
I think he drops his tray.
Mr. Brookstone, you and I need to have a word in my office.
I think he just nods.
Okay. I think that's a good place to end that scene. Okay, cool. So now we are into the real game. If you're looking at roll 20, I'm going to flip the first stage card, which is a Raken, and I'm going to place the first token on it. And now it is my turn, and I'm going to roll 1d4. I got a 2. So that means stage 2 is now unlocked. Great. Awesome.
Cool.
Which is spread. I place a token on that. When you place a fragment on this card, create a new manifestation of the horror. Frame a scene where the witness first encounters this manifestation for the first time. I think... Okay. Hold on. Let me write down what I think this manifestation is, and we'll do a similar thing. I'm having a hard time spelling manifestation for some reason. I think you and I both know what happens in that intermediary, right? That is when... you were put into brown class.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that scene.
Yeah,
you and I both know what happened. So I think this scene comes later. I imagine that there is a specific, either a specific part of the dorms or a specific dorm for people in the brown class.
Yeah.
I think this is like a day after. You've had to move all of your stuff from your previous dorm. Was Harrison your roommate? Maybe your dorm mate?
Or
just like a friend?
I don't think so. I think he was just a friend.
Okay. That's totally fair. I was just, wondering. So you've moved out of your previous dorm. You've moved into the brown dorm, which is, what do you imagine the dorms are like in general? Either aesthetically or... like setup wise.
Yeah, they're not extravagant. There's not like a lot of real like stuff. It's mostly like there are beds and there are dressers. But I think it's like somewhat nice. I'm thinking like. Very, I almost want to say earthy. Like the furniture is like clearly real wood. It's like clearly.
Oh yeah.
It's simple, but it wasn't just like
thrown together.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I like that. One thing that I think could be really interesting, because we've talked previously about like how the lighting of the school itself is like strangely natural lighting through spaces that should not be natural light. I like to think if almost like instead of pictures being hung up in like frames, because you remember how McDavid had like pictures fucking everywhere and like murals and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like even of like old like places, like
do you remember the painting on the wall that was a trumpet, but it was labeled
Tumpet? Yeah, I remember Tumpet, big Tumpet hours.
Oh yeah.
I think that in the place of like any kind of like decorations like that, there are picture frames, like large picture frames that are just the frames. And where a picture should be, it's almost like a window into some space within the sublime where it's like moving and you can hear it. You can feel the warmth of the sun through it. You can feel the breeze through it. And it's like just like a picturesque window into somewhere else into the sublime. You can't go through it. Nothing in it can come out other than like sensory detail.
Yeah.
And, like, I almost kind of like that also as being, like, the way that people's rooms are lit. There might be a mixture between, like, the weird skylight lights and also windows that just, like, lead into just, like, a really, like, sunny, picturesque angle of, like, somewhere out in the woods in the sublime. And that's how all of the rooms are lit.
Yeah, I like that.
And so I'm imagining it is somewhere kind of earlier in the day for you. Okay. Like maybe you just woke up. It is your like first day in the dorms, in these new dorms, I should say. And, you know, kind of groggy. These dorms are nowhere as nice. In fact, I imagine even the views out the window are less nice.
Sure.
Maybe. Yeah. 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 Okay. Here's what it is. You get up, you're kind of like sitting on the edge of your bed, still kind of reckoning with everything that's going on. Light is slowly beginning to pour through this frame into, what do you think the image is for Walter's room? Like what's in the frame?
I think it's a forest, but like if the camera was like on the ground.
If it's just like looking at the ground?
No, not looking at the ground. Like if you put a camera on the interesting ground. So it's like it's still like a nice looking forest, but there's also like a good amount of the scene that is just like
dirt. Yeah, that's like it's like if you were the perspective of an ant looking across a field. Right. I really like that for a thing we're about to do.
Awesome.
So you're sitting here, sun is starting to trickle through as much as it can through the grass and like rocks that are obscuring the view through your window frame. And as you're sitting there, you just hear like really loudly the sound of a bird chirping. And like that happens sometimes, like with some of these frames, like sometimes, oh yeah, bird passes by, you can hear a bird. Whatever, but this seems particularly loud for some reason.
Yeah, and it's like it's coming from this.
It's coming from the frame.
Okay, I think he gets closer. I think curiosity gets the better of him, and he is looking closer.
As you turn to look at it, and like maybe like get up to start looking at it, you see a small like bluebird hops into frame along the ground, like pecking to see if, you know, for like worms or like bugs or whatever that's on the ground. And it's loud. You can hear its chirping. It's like, it sounds like if you put like a microphone like right next to a bird as it's just like kind of chirping into it, which might be a little annoying, but there's something else that I think Walter feels in this moment as well. Like you see it and you're like, ah, fucking bird, loud. You your wings flapping. Wings. And there's a certain amount of you that is like, man, this bird would probably taste really good.
Yeah.
You know, you cook it just right.
Yeah.
How does Walter react to that feeling?
Is this where I take my turn?
No, you will, after this... the scene, you will take your turn.
After the scene, okay.
You do not have, I'm not forcing any reaction on you. You can react however Walter would react to this situation.
I think, like, he briefly, like, just sort of accepts that thought and is just like, yeah, I could eat that, and, like, starts to, like, reach towards the frame and then, like, pulls back and is like, wait, no, what am I? And I'm like, I think his reaction is just sort of, like, pacing and, like, coming further and back towards this frame, just sort of grappling with this thought that he knows is a weird thought to have, but, like, he can't help thinking it.
I think let's end that scene there. I think that's really interesting. We'll end it on the image of Walter pacing back and forth, pondering why he finds this bird so delicious and why it's so loud. I like it. All right. Yeah. You get a scene here.
I get a
scene. Yeah, so you now choose the action, and depending on the action, that will be the kind of framing of the scene.
I think this is in Walter's. Is this in his room, or is this?
This is in his room. The scene that you do doesn't have to be in this room. It doesn't have to be immediately after this scene. It can take place in any amount of time after this.
Okay.
It can be, if you want to, like, immediately do something that is, like, kind of related to this, but you do not have to.
Yeah, I think, okay, all right, I have something. Would there be a place in the dorm or around it to get snacks?
Yeah, I'm sure there's, like a commissary. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Maybe.
We're, like, a little... Yeah, the school has that kind of a commissary where, like, especially because there are kids that live in the dorms, like, there are going to be times where, like, they also have to eat, where, like, the kids who don't live here don't eat, right? So, like, you can buy, like, you know, snacks, like, you know, soda, chips, probably, like, quick, like, microwave meals kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Walter is just leaving this room and is getting a bag of chips. And the move that I'm doing here is act like nothing is wrong. Understood. And he's basically rationalizing, like, I'm just hungry. I'm just really hungry. Mm-hmm. And that's why I thought about eating this bird. Like,
I think I know what's going to happen here. I think you go to the commissary. I think there's someone who's running it. There's like a, I think this is a human. Let me find a name for them. Her name is Aaliyah. Aaliyah Wells.
All right.
She's white, with, kind of long red hair. She's wearing just kind of like a plain dress. She's got like a little name tag on. And I think there's like a vest that goes over it that is like a uniform here for the commissary. And she's like also got like a little like a visor on as well that matches it. Yeah. Like that matches it. I'm imagining the uniform is red for some reason. So it's just like a plain red visor and a vest. And like her like dress might be like white or something like that. And you go up and you're like checking out the snacks, and while you're there, there is this tantalizing smell. Like, you get up there, you're going through, and you're like, I'm hungry. Like, what am I looking for? And there is like a smell. You've definitely smelled it here before, but like, it's never been this strong, and it's never been this like appetizing either. Where like, it's that kind of savory, sulfury smell of eggs. They're doing like some kind of like, because it's early in the morning, like it's just like a quick like scrambled eggs and like a little like cardboard boat, you know, that you can get.
Yeah.
The like red and white striped, like, you know, you know what I'm talking about. And one of those, and like, You see her like cooking up some eggs, and it smells so good.
Yeah, I think he is like in the middle of like picking a bag of chips when he smells that.
Yeah,
and he goes, "Ah, oh, Wells, hey Wells,
yeah,
that eggs.
Oh yeah, just
that eggs there.
Yeah, just some scrambled eggs. You want some?
I would love some scrambled eggs.
All right, yeah, I can get you a boat. And she starts putting a little bit of puts like a spoonful of eggs in there. And she turns to give it to you.
He takes it. He says, "Oh my God, thank you."
Of course. You doing all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm just really hungry.
All right.
That's all.
That's fair.
I like eggs.
Okay. Cool.
He's like, I think he notices that she asked him if he was doing all right.
Yeah.
But I don't think he like says anything. I think he just starts eating.
They're so good and you don't know why. It's like she did something fucking magical to these eggs, because never before have eggs ever tasted this good. And there's something about it that you're like, ah, this tastes so good. Man, I wonder what these would taste like fresh, you know, like not cooked kind of deal, you know? Mm-hmm. Are they better?
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to end that scene. You do have a mechanical effect here. You can move a fragment from stage two and put it on another card, which is only stage one right now. So you can do that if you would like.
I will do that, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll move that over to Awaken. Awesome. Cool, cool, cool. It is my turn. 1d4. Ooh, a 3. I do not have stage 3 yet, so... oh, wait. Stage 2 is active, though. So that means... Man, this is so bad. I mean, not, like, bad, but, like, it's not great for you.
What does this mean, though? What does this mean?
So, overwhelm. When you place a fragment on this card, frame a scene in which the horror overwhelms the witness, witnesses' defenses in some way, permanently embedding inside them, enlisting the witness in a sinister mission or something else.
Yeah.
I think, Walter, you wake up one day. I'm imagining this is like a couple of days down the road. You've had these weird cravings for food. You've been enlisting in the brown class. What do you think brown class is like? Like, what is it? Like, what is it? Because we kind of have this idea that, you know, part of brown class is trying to re-educate kids so they can get back into the regular classes. But like, what does that re-education look like, do you think?
I think it's almost a lot of the same stuff, but like with a sort of different framing. Like, instead of, you know, almost instead of like, you know, this is how things are. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it like how lucky we are to enjoy this, to like to have these blessings. Mm-hmm. In brown class, it's more of like, this is how it is. You better get used to it. You better shape up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So is it that like, it's not like you don't have classes with Albert anymore. It's more like the classes are now is like, hey, here's how you deal with unruly kids. It's like, hey, stop being a fucking unruly twerp. Get your act together, because it's going to be your job to get other kids to not be you.
Right.
Interesting. So I'm imagining that's pretty stressful.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I that seems like it would be pretty stressful. And so I think it's like been a couple of days of like that, of essentially being berated by, you know, your other teachers and by Albert's like, hey, you need to get your act together because you are acting like the kids you're going to have to be dealing with. If I mean, assuming that you get your act together, because I mean, you're not the only kid in brown class going through this transformation. I'm sure that you are seeing other kids who are further along in their transformations. Right. And it's like.
Yeah.
Probably been a thing that you were aware of. Like, what did Walter think about it before it started happening to him? Does he even realize that that's what's happening to him?
I think he is still, I don't really want to call it denial, mm-hmm. because it's not like he doesn't recognize that that's happening to him. I think he's just like, he's under the impression that he's going to get out of this somehow.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, these kids are turning. I'm turning too, but I'm not gonna turn.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's been a couple of days. You're stressed out from all of, you know, the new re-education, the maybe like possible worrying that you might be starting to undergo some kind of weird transformation, the oncoming cravings that you've been having, you know?
Yeah.
I think that bird comes every day. And I think every day it's a little louder as well. I think every day you wake up to the loud noise of like loud chirping, a bird coming by to like pick at the dirt for bugs, and then like having to like sate your weird hunger for this bird by going to the commissary and getting eggs every morning. But I think this morning you don't wake up to the sound of the bird. You wake up to the taste of blood in your mouth.
Oh god.
It's kind of fuzzy. You like, by the time you come to, you're like, you realize you don't really know what's going on, like what happened. There's just like this weird irony taste of something drying on your in your mouth as you're like kind of chewing through something fleshy, as well as like there's like some other kind of fluff there that's in the way that you're like picking out of your teeth, that you like don't even realize that that's what you're doing. And by the time you come to, you realize that you are crouched over in the middle of your room with a bluebird in your hand, half eaten, and there's a bit of it still in your mouth. There's blood drying in your hands, and it is lifeless, partially in pieces on the floor. But the chirping has stopped. It doesn't wake you anymore. It's no longer that piercing, deafening noise in the morning. And it feels like your hunger has partially been sated. Because this is better than any eggs you've had. How does Walter feel?
He feels horrified. This isn't something that, you know, he doesn't know himself extremely well, but he knows this is not something he would do. And if it's not something he would do, then it's something else. It's there's something changing about him.
Yeah.
And there's something that is making him do this, and he is not thrilled about it.
Do you think that this is the moment in which he realizes that the transformation is happening?
I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. It is your turn.
Okay. I think the next scene we see is Walter in the bathroom.
Okay.
He is furiously, like, brushing his teeth.
Understandable.
He is, like with... Yeah, I'm thinking, what was it, Lady Macbeth?
Oh,
like,
yeah, out damned spot.
it's the same deal. It's the same deal. He is, like, he is with furious just vigor. He is going at his teeth and his tongue. Yeah. And I think he's, like, you know, if you zoom in, his eyes are, like, a little red. Mm-hmm. He's been crying from this. He is horrified by what has just happened, and he is trying to get rid of it. He's trying to erase what he has done. I think he probably got rid of the rest of the bird too. He probably
like flushed it.
I think he flushed the bird. Yeah.
What action is this?
I think this is another act like nothing is wrong. I think like after he is doing this, he comes out and just like Is this a communal bathroom? Is this
Yeah, like, I would imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, if he is like alone in here this whole time, then after he is sufficiently done, he just like I think he like like splashes water on his face like a bunch of times, and then looks in the mirror and just goes like get it together.
I think as you are. You finish brushing your teeth. You're like, get it together. You know, you take some more water. You like rinse it around, spit it out. You're spitting out like it's like you're realizing like by now, like, you know, the whatever parts of the bird you had eaten like should be out. But you're still kind of spitting out a little bit of blood because I think that's just how hard you are brushing your teeth where like your gums started bleeding a little bit. And like, it's like you're trying to get it out, and like you're washing your face, and I think you go down, you splash water in your face, and as you look back up into the mirror, instead of the like reflective surface that was normally there, there is just inky void again, and an eye opens up, and more eyes open up, and they all look at you.
I think he looks at the mirror and just goes, "What? What do you want? Huh? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? There's nothing wrong with me. What are you looking at?"
You hear a flushing noise from one of the stalls. And as you like kind of jerk around to look, you see another one of the classmates of yours from the brown class. Bit taller than you, bit burlier. Looking guy, dark, like shaggy hair, kind of darker skin, I would imagine. He's not wearing his shirt, but he does have on like pajama pants, and you see that he has like a pair of tusks that are like growing out of his like mouth, almost like a boar's tusks.
Sure.
And he just kind of weirdly stares at you, doesn't go to wash his hands, and just like leaves the bathroom.
As he's leaving, Walter just goes, I'm doing that scene from that movie. Isn't that what he says? What are you looking at? You looking at me? De Niro?
The door closes. And I think you turn to look back at the mirror, and there's nothing there. Or there's the reflective surface again. And there is a little bit of blood just like on your lip from the last time that you spit out.
He wipes the blood away and leaves the bathroom.
For your mechanical effect, you get to take a fragment from, I guess, stage 3, and you can move it wherever you want.
Yep.
Where do you want it?
Moving it to stage 1.
Moving it to stage 1? Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. It is my turn. I'm going to roll 1d4. I rolled a 1. Because there are already 3 ones on 1, this is going to go onto 2. Spread. When you place a fragment on this card, create a new manifestation of the horror. Frame the scene where the witness encounters the manifestation for the first time. Okay. Hold on. Also, I forgot to say, the second manifestation, the descriptors for it were hungry and attuned.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. I think for this scene, we've done a lot with you being isolated. I want to see some more of Harrison. Do you hang out with Harrison anymore, actually?
I think so. I mean, I think like Harrison is one of the few people that he has like, and honestly, maybe the only person that like after moving to Brown class that he has still maintained a relationship with. And they definitely see each other less, but.
Yeah, for sure. Where do you guys typically hang out now? Is it like just somewhere in the grounds? Is there like a quad kind of area that you all hang out at?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that kind of a. Still like,
or even like a
common area,
a playground. I don't know. yeah,
actually, you know, I kind of like that's the kind of shit that Walter would do. Actually, I think they hang out on the playground.
Yeah,
like often, like they're not on the playground, but you know, they're off to the side.
They're like on the swings where the cool kids hang out because you can just kind of swing and because you can just kind of swing and like talk. I like that. Yeah, I think you and him are on the swings. I get the sense that like a lot of you guys hanging out is probably just like Harrison going on about stuff, like talking and you listening to him ramble. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of that is just like the two of you, you know, doing that. He's like going on, he's rambling. What is he rambling about? What do you think Harrison's role is actually?
Ooh, Harrison is. Would there be like journalists in the Sublime?
Yeah, I feel like there would be. There's like newspapers. that are like that circulate within the towns that are just like local news for the town. I'm sure there's not a lot to report, but or maybe it's like what would it be like? Maybe it's like advice columns primarily, and I'm sure there is like some kind of reporting. I'm like, because things do happen, but like I'm interested. What does journalism look like in this world?
Yeah,
I don't know. Is it like fabricated stuff or things? Does the Sublime fabricate events to happen so that things can be reported? And that like, I guess like, does the Stranger like, because maybe there are people's roles who are criminal, right? Where it's like, you've got to be a criminal. You got to steal from places, do that. So that causes news, which gives justification for there being a sheriff and being police in general. And like, because I feel like to a certain degree, the Stranger's like belief in like what the world should be like isn't a utopia. It's not like there's no crime, there's no like whatever. It's just like, not to put too fine of a point on it, but it's like, it's just like an 80s movie, right? In which case, like, are bad people who do bad things, so there are going to be people who get those roles. Like, not, like, deciding not to do your role might also be, you're supposed to be a murderer. Or, like, you're supposed to, or you're supposed to be, like, some petty thief. Like, here's how you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
really... Yeah, I don't know about, like, I don't know about if there would be, like, murder or crimes like that. But, you know, I mean, like, I feel like in every, like, you know, even in, like, old, like, cartoons when they are, like, you know, panning across the whole town and everyone's, like, waving out the window and it's like, oh, there's the fireman. There's the, you know, there's the whatever. There's the cop, and there's the like criminal waving out of the jail cell.
Yeah,
like with like a black like eye mask on and like striped shirt.
Yeah, I think there is a certain degree where like some people are like, yep, you're we've determined that your role is you're a bank robber. You won't be going to school here anymore, but we do have, I guess someone else who is a bank robber who's going to teach you how to do that so that your role is that you go to jail. That's so fucked up, but I think that's true. I think that's true about this world.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's wild. What a crazy world we're building. So what were we saying about Harrison? How did we get on this? Were we saying that Harrison is a criminal? I don't remember.
No, I had asked if journalism was.
A thing. Yeah.
Then you were that spiraled into like, do events happen?
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, because there are assigned criminals.
Yeah. Whoa, that's wild. Yeah. So Harrison could be a journalist.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it.
Cool. So yeah, I think he's like, he's doing the thing where he's like not sitting on the swing, but like standing on it and swinging. You know.
Right, of course.
He's that kind of kid.
That's so Harrison.
And he's swinging on it. He's just going on about, they're talking about the ethics of journalism and like, and how to uphold, like the standard of journalism and the Sublime. And he's just going on about like how boring the class is. And as you're like sitting there, like listening to him, you get this like really, you get this like kind of itchy feeling like in your arms. It almost like it's not like the kind of itchy feeling where it's like, oh man, I got a bug bite, or like, man, do I have like a rash or something, or like not, or like kind of that like general itch, you know, where it's like where you're just like, man, I'm kind of itchy for some reason. And like as you like kind of like lightly like kind of scratch at it a little bit, you like feel something on your arms, not on is not the right word, in your arm, squirming and like writhing a little bit, like prickly, trying to get out.
I think he's been like, you know, sort of casually scratching when it was just a niche, but with that, like, I think he's like looking at his arms now, like I think he's
you look down at your arms and you are like inspecting. You can like almost see underneath the skin what almost looks like lines of something like wriggling under the skin, as if like trying to find like exit points in it. And then you start feeling them like pricking one by one by one, and you start seeing like these very thin strands of like reddish brown hair beginning to like poke out of your arms. And like it's like each of them like a pinprick, and you can feel every bit of them like as they go to it, like the hair like writhing in the skin, moving almost like a like worms under your skin until they're finally able to prick through the layer of skin and out. And you like start like growing this really weird, strangely sensitive hair along your arms.
I think like when he realizes this is happening, mm-hmm. he gets up and he like just runs. He just runs away.
Gotcha. I think you hear Harrison go, "Hey, wait, bud, where are you going?"
I think Walter just shouts back, "I gotta," and he doesn't
he doesn't finish.
He doesn't string together a full sentence. Yeah.
You run to somewhere. I don't know where you run. I mean, I think that's a good place to end that scene.
Yeah.
Because I think we know what happens. You go somewhere private, you look at your arms, and like you're just growing hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your turn.
So I think the scene is, I think it's a couple days after that, mm-hmm. and he has not gone back to the playground to see Harrison.
Aw.
But I think this scene is when he does, and like he knows Harrison's going to be there. He like it's their typical, you know, meeting spot.
Yeah, for sure.
And he sees Harrison from a distance and just like nods at him and doesn't say anything. I think he has his arms like folded. He is trying to cover up the hair. And he just like kind of rushes towards Harrison and like kind of looking around to like make sure no one else is looking.
Mm-hmm.
And just goes, "Hey man, I you know what happens? You know what happens to the kids in the brown class? Yeah, you know all about that."
Yeah. The sort of acting weird, I guess, like you right now.
I don't mean that. I mean they change.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I heard rumors, but
yeah, man, it's
are you changing, bud?
And he shows his arms.
Yo, whoa, look at that! Wait. So,
man, I'm turning into something, man. And I don't know what to do.
Is this ask for help? Is that what you're doing?
This is ask for help, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to roll first and see the outcome of that before we play the rest of the scene, or do you want to play it out first?
How about this?
Mm-hmm.
How about we roll? We don't say the roll for the recording.
Okay.
And then we play out the scene.
And then we say
according to the roll. Okay. Yeah.
I like that. Cool. Roll 1d4 for me.
This is a big one.
You have to choose which one that you're doing. I imagine you're doing it for Awaken.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Awaken, for the audience, currently has 3 fragments on it. And in order to... Gus can potentially get all 3 of them right now as long as he rolls under. Is that correct?
Yeah.
If you roll less than the number of fragments, which is pretty, like, very much in your favor, you get them all back. But if you roll a 3 or a 4, Harrison will be infected.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay. I think you show this to Harrison, and Harrison goes, whoa, dude, that's fucked up. Okay. We could talk to somebody, you know, if being in brown class is the reason why this is happening, you know, we just got to go get you out of brown class, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, okay, okay.
Dope. Yeah, man. Yeah, or you know what? Oh. You know what? Better yet, what if we just get out of this school?
Now you are speaking my language.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck that. I didn't even want to be a journalist, you know? Like,
yeah.
Okay, bro. Oh, honestly, I've been kind of chatting up the bus driver lately. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think we could get her to get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Later tonight, you and I get all your stuff. I'm going to see, she rolls around here in like an hour or so. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to try to smooth some things over. Later tonight, you and I meet up. We're getting the fuck out of here, bro.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Okay.
All right. And he kind of, he puts a hand out to fist bump you.
He bumps back.
Right. Fuck this school.
All
right. I'll see you tonight.
See you tonight.
I think that's the end of that scene. Do we want to say what you rolled?
I rolled a 4.
You rolled a 4. So not only do not get any fragments, but he is also infected.
Kendrick, I'm gonna lose.
It's
Kendrick. This is going very bad.
Yeah, there's still hope. I'm like not even so now for everyone, because he is inflicted, instead of having 7 fragments, I only need 6. I currently have 4 on the board. So I only need 2 more. But you also have other possibilities to, like, you can search for meaning. That's a way to get some off the board.
That's true.
Can you ask for help from him again? I think you can. A support witness becomes infected, yada, yada, yada. Each infected support that has not been driven away, yada, 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 whatever. Yeah, I think they can still, until you drive him away, you can still ask him for help.
Cool!
He is still kind of an asset to you.
I still don't feel good about this.
Still not great, but, you know, it is what it is. Okay, I'm going to roll. 1d4. That's a 3. cool. So 3, overwhelm. When you place a fragment on this card, frame a scene in which the horror overwhelms the witness's defenses in some way, permanently embedding inside them, enlisting the witness in a sinister mission or something else. I think the scene happens while the two of you are waiting for the bus. It's the middle of the night. How is Walter feeling, you know? In general, you've still been having weird cravings. Your hearing and smell have been more sensitive. Especially you've been picking up on things that'll like kind of make you hungry. You're starting to grow hair in more places. And like, how are you feeling?
He's still very much disturbed by what's going on. This is you said the scene is.
The scene is overwhelmed, but it's taking place while you guys are waiting for the bus.
Right. Okay. He's still very much disturbed by this, by what is like happening to his mind and body. But at this moment, he is more hopeful, and more specifically, I think he is like he is with what Harrison has convinced him of, like. He is convinced, like, it's the school. It's the school that's doing this. And if I get away from the school, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you're, like, kind of, like, pacing, you're, like, thinking about this. You're like, yeah, it's the school. As soon as we get away, we're going to be fine. You find yourself pacing and, like, you're, like, Harrison is there. He's got all his stuff. And, like, he's kind of, like, you know, he's a little excited. Like, he's kind of jumpy. He's, like, kind of looking around. But you also see, like, every now and then, he's just kind of, like, looking over to you and being, like, bro, man, chill out. And you're like kind of like you're like feel like really like excited, right? You're like you're anxious, I should say, not necessarily excited, a different form of excited. Yeah. You're kind of pacing, and he's like, bro, hey, whoa, chill out. And like when he like says that, you're like, what? And you realize you've been walking on all fours.
Oh shit.
Like. Hadn't really occurred to you, just felt like the most natural thing in the world. You've just been crawling on the ground back and forth. And he says, whoa, okay, man, hey, whoa, chill out. chill out, okay? Stand up, stand up, stand up.
He stands up.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You're freaking me the fuck out, man. All right? You okay?
Yeah, okay.
You sure?
Yeah. No, I'm just nervous.
Okay, well, you can't be doing that. And you realize he grabs your hand, and you realize he's grabbing your hand from, like, you've been, like, scratching yourself. You've been scratching yourself in the way that, like, a small, like, squirrel or ferret or weasel might, like, scratch itself, where it's, like, kind of, like, the curved hand, like, right by, like, the ear kind of scratch, you know?
Yeah.
You were, like, kind of doing that as you were talking. He grabs your hand. He's like, hey, whoa, all right, chill out. It's going to be okay. We're going to get you away from the school. And as he says that, you see the lights turn around the corner and the kind of low hum of the bus as the wheels grind along the path, pulling up towards you all. And I think that's the end of that scene. Whew. Hmm. Old buddy, old pal. Did I already put a thing here? Or do I still need to do that? I think I did it. Yeah, because you moved. You moved the last one. Okay, cool. It's your turn.
So, okay. Like, here's... Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Kendrick.
Yes.
That is your real name.
Yes.
If I do not successfully remove at least one of my things, one of the fragments,
mm-hmm.
this turn,
mm-hmm.
then I am going to lose.
That is correct.
So.
Technically, your best chance is ask for help from him. He's already infected, right?
Yeah. That's gotta be what I'm doing.
You have a 50-50 chance to immediately get 3 fragments reclaimed and be 1 away from winning.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
What does that look like? Frame that scene.
So first, like, resolve this for me. Like, how does this play out? How does this work with, do he and Harrison get on the bus? Are they?
That's completely up to you. Because, I mean, we've kind of already established that the bus driver is how you escaped, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I guess the two of you do, right? Like, and you guys ride to wherever. Like, you can frame that right now. Where do you guys go? Does he help you on the bus? Does he help you after you get somewhere else? Like, up to you.
I think they're on the bus. And Walter has just kind of been looking out the window for a minute. And he says, hey, man, I'm sorry to freak you out like that. Just and he turns to Harrison. You've been here longer than me, man. I need you to tell me this right now. Tell me that even if I do turn, I'm still gonna be a person, right? I'm still gonna be me. I'm still gonna be Walter. I'm still gonna be.
Hey, Walter.
Yeah.
You're still a person. All right. I don't fucking care. Whatever this thing is, and he kind of like waves his hand to like general emotion towards you, like, I don't know whatever this is, but like, you know, that's not you, that's not your fault, you know. I don't know who did it, probably Albert, right? I guess he's in charge of that whole thing,
probably.
Or maybe the stranger. Yeah. I don't even know, but like, whatever he did, like, that's not you. Like, this hair, that shit, that's not you. The walking on force, that's not you. The person I'm talking to right now, that's you. You're a person, all right? Okay. Like, whatever this is, that ain't you. He made you this, you know?
Yeah. Hey, all right.
All right?
Just be there for me, okay, man? If I ever start to do anything that I can't control or I don't understand, like, just you just promise me you'll be there to bring me back down.
Yeah, man. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay.
Make the roll.
I'm gonna fucking shit myself, man. This is a... I'm seriously, like, I'm gonna be so genuinely fucking upset.
I know.
Oh, man. Okay, just gotta do it. Just gotta hit enter.
We're gonna work through it together, bud.
Alright.
There it is. That's the two.
There it is.
You get all 3 of these fragments back. And you move this to 3. See? Look at that.
Look at that.
Harrison was there for you. Where is Harrison now? No fucking idea. Something happens to Harrison.
We'll see. We'll
see. Jeez. Okay. I'm kind of glad. I'm glad that that happened. I think that felt right.
Yeah.
I think that felt right.
Yeah. I appreciated he made you that.
You're welcome. I knew I was going to find a way to put it into this episode somehow. Because part of
that was fucking good.
Part
dude.
Of me was like, he heard that. Someone had to tell him that. Someone got him through using that. I was like, it felt right. Okay. It's my turn. All right. There we go. Hey, should be working. Can you hear me? What? Can you hear me? I can't hear. I'm joking. Of course I can't hear you. It's a recording. But yeah, it's me, Kendo, your lovely GM, your best friend, and, you know, everything else. I'm recording this back in the magical year of 2021, back when everything was young and new, back when this podcast was young and new, and it's already been... It's been a lot of months, and now it's a new year, which means new opportunities to tell amazing stories with my good friends and all of you. So first of all, I just want to thank you all for taking time out of your day to listen to this episode. Or just like any of our episodes, really. It means so much to us. And if you are really enjoying it, you can follow us on social media. At Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. It's where we post most of our stuff about updates about the show, interacting with people, so on and so forth. You know the deal. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, mostly Twitter, to get information like that. And don't forget to tell people what you think about us by leaving us a review on Spotify, iTunes, or Podchaser. I think it's not called iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. So that's my bad. Go there and review us, not iTunes. And if you want another way to engage with us and also join our ever-growing community, you can join our brand new Discord server. Ringing in the new year with the Discord server. That's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I don't know what that was. I'm not going to do it again. I swear. But yes, you can find a link to our Discord server on the link pages on both of the bios of the social medias I just said. And you can also find it in the link of the description. You can find the link in the description of this episode. Isn't that awesome? And you'll be able to find it on every episode coming forward as well. It's a great place to just talk about the show, meet new people who like the show, and just talk about TTRPGs and whatever else you care about. Man, this has been going on for so long, so I'm just going to end it by thanking all of you. But I'm also going to thank the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for allowing us to just really start off with a bang and be a part of an amazing community filled with a bunch of queer creators all trying to make beautiful art and stories with each other using tabletop RPGs. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that why you're here? Well, you should listen to some of them. I'm going to play an ad right after I'm done talking to you. So, yeah, that's that. Yeah, I'm going to play that ad. But don't forget to take care of yourself. Eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, because self-care is so important. And don't forget to love yourself like I love you. Happy New Year, everyone.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand?
And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive holo foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to...
Come listen to Dice for Roll, the gayest Pathfinder podcast on the planet. We ask the hard questions like, is it morally acceptable to kiss a goblin? Is it cool to use spell slots to warm up leftovers? Would the gods be mad if I wrote slash fic about them? We're a group of four friends who play Pathfinder 2nd edition every week and go on adventures like none other. We've just launched our brand new season, Extinction Curse, which follows the adventures of the Circus of Wayward Wonders, as they put on the greatest show in all of Galarian and uncover ancient secrets and long-forgotten foes from a bygone era. If you like circuses, clowns, and a little bit of magic, come check us out, and make sure that no matter what, you keep it rolling.
Roll 1d4. Got a 4, and that is stage 4.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Which is not the best, but also technically kind of good for you.
Yeah. I'm getting how this game works, yeah. And that's not terrible.
That's not terrible. Technically, if you really wanted, you can end the game next turn.
I could,
if you really wanted to. Which is an interesting thing that I hadn't thought about until like this very second.
Yeah.
That's super cool. That
also, if you roll a 4 any time past this turn, the game ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Oh, that's such a cool thing. Man, Avery is such an amazing game designer.
This is such a well-made game.
This is such
Holy
a good
shit.
Game. Oh, that's such a cool thing that you can force the normalize if you really want to. That's so good. Yeah. That's so good. Okay. Normalize. When you place a fragment on this card, frame a scene in which the horror becomes more normalized, where the witness overlooks or accepts the role and place of the horror in their life. I think this is... I don't know if we know how long this is after that night. You and Harrison have been on the road for a while. You guys are not on the bus anymore. You guys have been traveling. I think... through just like kind of word of mouth and like, you know, rumors and stuff, the two of you have heard of this kind of new thing that's happening on the like vast outskirts of the Sublime. You hear that there are these people trying to build a city and of like people who are like rebelling against, you know, everything that this world stands for.
Yeah.
I think the two of you have been walking for a while. I'm imagining the landscape, especially as you get like further out, becomes much more like, it's already pretty rural. It's a lot of forest and stuff. But I think as you get closer towards the outlands, the wild lands, I should say, it becomes more like farmland because like people here got it.
Yeah.
And some people, their roles are farmers. And yeah. So I think just like, I really like the idea of you all roaming through a large wheat field.
Yeah, I like that.
There's just like, there's a farm out here. There's just like stalks of wheat that are like towering above the two of you. And like, I'm imagining the camera getting this aerial view of like a path in the wheat being carved out as the two of you like walk through it. And I think you all have been walking. It's been days. I think you've grown more fur on your body. I think every now and then the weight of just walking on both of your legs gets a little tiring. And so every now and then, you know, you hoof it on all fours. And I think that's what's happening right now. I think you're on all fours as the two of you are walking through this wheat field. I think you've been noticing that Harrison has been acting a little off, kind of twitchy, gets like irritated, not necessarily at you, but just in general. It's just like, ah, man, we've been fucking off for so long. Like, you know, that's always been kind of who he was, but like, he also used to like kind of mask that in humor. And like now that humor part kind of fades away a little bit. And sometimes he's just fucking venting.
Yeah.
And I think there are times that he like turns to be like, what'd you say? But you didn't say anything. No one said anything. You didn't hear anything. That kind of deal. So yeah, I think you're walking through this wheat field, and I think he's complaining right now. Just to be like, man, this fucking sucks, man. Like, I'm hungry. We haven't had anything to eat since we passed by that food truck like yesterday, bro. I'm so fucking hungry.
Yeah. I think like in moments where he is like actively in conversation with Harrison, I think Walter like stands on two legs for that, like just sort of out of respect almost, like, and he says, "Wish I had picked a different field to walk through other than wheat."
Yeah.
If it was corn, we could have just eaten corn.
Corn, but... nah, man, I need meat.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What you craving?
I don't know, man. Like something. I'm getting this weird, like, I want chicken or something, you know? I could really go for, like, wings or something.
You want to hear something fucked up?
What?
I ate a bird.
What? When? What? What?
It was back at school. In my dorm. Through the window, I ate a bird.
How'd it taste?
I mean, I sort of went a little wild when it happened, but it was satisfying. It didn't taste good or bad, really. It just felt right.
Huh. I think a bird flies over where you all are, and it's like the shadow like moves through the wheat, catches Harrison's eye, and I think he like looks at it kind of hungrily, and I think you notice him lick his lips. Yeah, I could go for a bird.
You all right?
Yeah, just hungry. Come on.
Yeah.
And he keeps moving.
I almost want to, like, I don't want to, I don't think this would be even part of a move or a scene, but, like, I think there's a point in, while they're walking, when Walter just says, hey, maybe I'm turning into something cool, you know?
Like what?
I'm going to be like a mountain lion, or a, I don't know, like a, it'd be a wolf.
That'd be pretty dope.
That'd be pretty cool.
I think I could get out here, like, hunting with a wolf. You know?
Wouldn't be the worst thing.
Wouldn't be the worst thing. But you're not going to turn. We're going to get further away from the school. It's going to stop that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You're right.
Yeah. I think that's the end of that scene.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. It's your turn.
I almost feel like this is a good both, because the move I want to do is act like nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
And I feel like it almost coincides with having a fragment on normalize now.
Yeah. It doesn't
where
sorry, keep going.
I think part of acting like nothing is wrong is like seeing Harrison clearly change.
Yeah.
And basically being like, that's fine. That's not.
Yeah. You don't have to put that on normalize. You can put it on whatever and frame the scene however you want. Whatever card you're putting it on has no bearing on.
No, yeah, no, yeah. I know. Yeah, I'm just like,
if you did put it on normalized, that is the end of the game.
I'm not saying I'm putting it on normalized. Yeah. I'm saying like the process towards that has like increased a little.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of part of it is like,
yeah.
I think it is actively ignoring Harrison's change.
Yeah. So you want to do act like nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Where do you want to take the fragment from, and where do you want to move it?
I want to move it from overwhelm to spread.
Frame the scene for me.
I think they're still walking. I think they're, you know, still walking through a lot of farmland. I think maybe for like a bit of change of scenery, I think like there's a nearby farmhouse. And oh, you know what? Okay, shit, fucking shit. I know what it is.
Uh-huh.
There is a farmhouse that we see, and outside of the house there's farmland. There's also a barn,
mm-hmm.
and some fences, and from a distance we can hear chickens clucking.
That's so good. Is this like the same day or is this a different day?
I think this is a different day.
Okay. How close to, like, do you think that Harrison's change has gone any further physically?
I'll leave that up to you. Okay. But like, I just know he had specifically mentioned chicken.
Yeah. Okay. I really like this idea of, I think our camera is like outside of the farm, outside of the barn. Like, it's like angled in such a way where like the farm is like large, like a bit like further in the distance. And like the barn like door is open and it's a silent night. There's a field of like corn or soy or whatever off in the distance, past the farmhouse, and the silence of the night is broken by the clucking of chickens, and there's a light that turns on in the farmhouse, and the two of you come out of the barn, arms full of chickens that you've grabbed, and you're like, you're booking it for the soy field. And our camera like moves with you as you are like coming out of the. I'm sorry that I've kind of taken over the framing of this scene.
No, totally. Go ahead.
And you guys are like running, and it's like the camera like follows you, and we hear like the screen door of the farm open, and you just hear, "What's all that going on out there?" And the two of you are like laughing and running. I think we get a closer look at both you and Harrison. I think your like physical change might have like gone, like you've gotten a bit hairier, and I think you're a little shorter than you used to be as well.
Yeah.
There's some bit like more like fur like around your ears, and maybe they like feel like look a little pointed. And I think for Harrison, we start seeing whiskers growing out of from his face.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see like a little bit of like fur growing up like around his ears. And specifically, we get a look at his hands, and we see like the fur that's like kind of like around his face and like around his ears is a bit more kind of like auburn, like a reddish orangish hue, but the fur around his hands are black, and it's like fingernails are starting to like grow out a little more. And the two of you are like running through the fields. You hear the sound of like a shotgun go off like in the distance and someone yelling, but you guys are like far ahead of all of that. How does Walter react? How does he feel in this moment?
I think he feels good. Like, I think he's, you know, he's typically not a very, you know, thinking in contrast to Harrison, he's not a very energetic guy. He's typically well reserved, but like, this is just such this moment of like running with these chickens is just like exhilarating. And I think he feels kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
And to him, this moment is not animalistic. It is like rebellious. You know, it is two friends. You know, two friends. You know, just
stealing chickens.
Going at the world alone. You know.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that scene ending there. I think we have a good idea of what happens after. Awesome. I believe it is my turn again. 1d4. I got a 3. Overwhelm. Okay. I think this is that same night. I know I said that I think we know what happens after that.
No, no.
But I think something. I think there might be a little bit more. I imagine the two of you eventually make your way out to like the nearby woods away from the farm. You've successfully escaped the farmer. And like the two of you have like these chickens, you all have killed them in some way, shape, or form. I'm not necessarily interested in the picturing of that, but I think the two of you have exactly what you need, right? You have all these things. I think you start eating them. Do you cook the chickens, or are both of you in a space where you think you just eat them raw?
I almost think. I almost think he like starts to like take a bite, and then like just before taking the first bite thinks like, we should probably cook this.
As you say that, you look over to Harrison. Harrison's already dug in. He has tore out like the neck of the chicken and is like starting to like de-feather it, to like claw and like at some of the meat and take it out. It's in this moment that something like visceral inside you shakes. As you watch this, there's a fear that happens here. Like an almost like primordial instinctual fear that like an animal gets when in the face of a predator. And like there is this immediate feeling of needing to run. And I don't think you can control it. I think like you see it and there is this almost kind of natural instinct to just slowly, like while he's distracted, move into the shadows of the nearby trees and brush and like hide. I don't know if you leave. I don't think you fully leave. I think a part of you is afraid that if you run, he'll chase. And so you hide here in the bushes, watching, waiting. And I think like after a while, he like kind of looks up, notices you're gone. And like you see him like kind of look around like, Walter? Walter? And he like gets up, moves in such a way that's so sly, so elegant and decisive, yet almost fox-like.
Yep.
That.
No, probably.
He looks around, he's like, Walter! And you see like he makes, like you can almost tell like the motion of like that he's sniffing the air. Where'd you go, bud? And like the fear of a predator still lingers, but you feel like you have a bit more control of it now that you felt it. What do you do?
I think he takes a few minutes and he is deep, slow breathing, just like trying to get his composure back. And I think he kind of makes himself like seen, but kind of doesn't really like leave his spot from like behind the tree. Like he is like coming out, but like still giving space and obstruction between him and Harrison.
Yeah.
And he just shouts. I think he like says it, does this like very loudly and obviously, just says, hey, sorry, I had to take a piss. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry. I thought you ran off there.
No, sorry. It was an emergency. Sorry.
No worries. I don't know if you slowly make your way back over to like where he is, but like still keeping your distance.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
He watches you the whole way. And like the way a predator eyes prey, tracking its movement, trying to see what the next thing it'll do. And he sees, I imagine you didn't drop the chicken, like you like backed into it with like holding the chicken that you had.
Right.
And he just kind of looks down and is like, you gonna eat that?
Walter goes, I've had enough. Yeah.
We'll toss it here.
Walter tosses it there.
He grabs it so deftly. And he goes,
Walter goes, yeah, nice one.
Thanks. Getting better. A lot better. And I think that's where that scene ends.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Mm.
So many choices.
So many choices.
Who would have known that this is where we would end up playing this game? I had no concept of this. This is so cool. I love this game.
This is, yeah. Okay. I think he's going to do another act like nothing is wrong. This is like, he's just like, you know, this is just...
Yeah, no.
I think at this point, he is recognizing that Harrison's changing.
Oh, for sure.
That much is clear. He is no longer denying that. What he is acting like nothing is wrong is like this response that he has just had to Harrison, this reaction that he just had was unrelated.
Interesting.
He's just like that was, you know, like I did the weird shit with the bird. I did the weird shit with running on all fours. This is another weird thing that I'm starting to do, and it's fine.
Yeah.
He's not worried about it. You know, whatever Harrison's turning into, you know, whatever. Also does some weird stuff. Like, you know, he's almost just like, he's recognizing that both of them are changing, but he is denying that there's anything bad about this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And we are gonna figure this out and we're gonna be fine.
Okay. Frame this scene for me.
I think they're just still walking. I think by this point, Walter is no longer trying to walk on two legs.
Just all fours now.
All fours. Unless like some situation calls for it, he's on all fours.
Yeah, for sure. I think you notice that Harrison does it every now and then as well.
Yeah.
I think you also notice that he's starting to grow a tail, and so are you.
And I think as they're walking, Walter just says, "It's weird, isn't it? It's all this, you know?"
What?
I mean, the, you know, we're on all fours and it's weird, right? It just feels right, you know?
I feel like I move faster, you know? More smoothly.
Yeah, me too. I feel more sturdy, you know?
Easier to hide in bushes this way too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing, it's a lot of weird stuff. Like, you know, just when I ate that bird, you know, it's just like it felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that, you know. There's a lot of just stuff that feels right.
Yeah. Walter, while the two of you are like kind of moving through these woods and like having this conversation, I think you see that figure again. A bit of a ways off. That void in this space. I think it's sitting in like the branch of a tree. And it's like, and it already has all of the eyes. It's not like black and then the eyes open. All of the eyes are there. All of the eyes are open. All of them are looking down at you.
Harrison, do you see that?
See what?
Nothing. Just thought I saw
You seeing things?
Nah, I just thought I saw a dog. That it was a weird bush.
Ah, I get you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I hear stuff.
Yeah?
I think my ears are getting better.
Ah, that's...
Like you hear, he kind of perks up a little bit. Something crawling through the grass over there. About like 15 feet from us. He kind of turns and looks, and you like see like a bit of movement in the brush over there where he looks. Rabbit or something. His heart's beating fast. Could make a good snack. He starts to look at you with like a little of a sly grin.
I don't hear it actually.
Really? Yeah, and it's not just that. It's like sometimes I think I hear you talking, but it's like not you, I guess.
Oh. what am I saying?
He kind of looks down for a second, looks back up. Nothing important. Just kind of going on. We're losing daylight. Let's find a place to camp, I guess. He starts moving.
Walter moves with him.
Okay. All right. It's my turn.
That was a act like nothing is wrong. So
you got to move some stuff. I forgot.
Yeah.
What do you want to move?
I'm moving from overwhelm to spread.
Okay. Going for the big boy. Ooh. All right. So this is going into overwhelm again.
Yep.
Okay. Man, you've really timed this in such a way.
It yeah.
Yeah, where we're back where we were before. But yeah. The odds are much more in your favor this time.
Are they?
I mean, yeah. Cause you don't even need to do, cause you can also reclaim fragments by just by search for meaning. And it's the same role.
Yeah, that's true. But it's still a role.
Yeah, it's still a roll, but there's like no downside to making that roll, you know?
Well, true, but there wasn't a downside to asking for help after Erison had already been corrupted.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. So
it's still the same, I gotta make the roll or lose.
Yeah, totally fair.
Although, I guess,
you could also get rid of him. You can drive someone away.
Well, but, okay, that's not what I was gonna say.
Oh, yeah. Or you can act like nothing was wrong and move to normalize and make it an immediate mid.
Yeah. Or it's also possible that the roll after
is a
four. If I fail, then.
There are a lot of angles that this can go. For this overwhelm, I think it's in the middle of the night. Two of you have already eaten for the day. You're resting. You guys have found a place to sleep. I think you're all getting closer to the outskirts. I think for the past couple of days while traveling, if you all ever climbed to the tops of the trees or made it out of the kind of tree line and into the kind of valley area, you could see in the distance over the trees what looks like a skyscraper that is towering over the trees. It's the only skyscraper you've ever seen in the entirety of the Sublime. And you see other buildings, but the skyscraper really stands out to you. And at night, I think you wake up one night and, you're just kind of restless. You go out, maybe you climb. Do you climb a tree or do you just go out to outside the tree line?
I think it climbs a tree.
Yeah. I think you climb a tree and, you look out, you see the skyscraper is lit up in the distance. None of the lights are on during the day, but only at night it kind of lights up. And you're sitting at the top of this tree watching this beacon in the distance, the only kind of guiding way that any of you know that either of you know that you're going in the direction you want to be going. And I think you see the thing again. I think you see the void with the eyes looking at you. And I think it's kind of floating in the air, vaguely in the direction of the skyscraper. I think you see it. And every time you've seen it, you've kind of been filled with this awe and this curiosity and this terrifying fear of what the hell is this thing? And I think you see it and you see all the eyes looking at you. And I think you see it kind of in, it's always been kind of a little bit shapeless, but vaguely humanoid in that way, And I think you see part of it move, and you can only assume it's an arm just based on the vague shape and the placement of it on the void. And you can only really tell it's moving based on the fact that the eyes are moving on the outside part of whatever this form is, and you see whatever its arm is kind of motioning in a come here direction or follow me. And I think there's a part of this curiosity and this awe and this terrifying emotion that is so visceral and so core in your being every time you see this thing that you feel like you have no choice but to do so. And so I think you climb down the trees and you just start running off in that direction, following it, leaving Harrison here. Okay, it's your turn.
I need a minute.
Yeah, you're good. I understand. There's a lot at stake.
Oh, man. I'm literally I'm running the odds in my head.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I'm actually, I'm getting out my fucking calculator.
Are you running the statistics?
Yeah. Right. Cause it's okay. Basically, there's if I do what I'm going to do, there's a 50% chance of good. There's a 50% chance of good.
Yeah.
And this is the end. No matter what, this is the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly. We've reached the definitive. Whatever happens is the end.
Yeah. So then, if I don't get that, then there's a 1 in 4 chance of getting normalized, which would be okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with normalize.
Yeah.
So right now I have it is a 62.5% chance of getting an ending I'm okay with.
That's not.
And a 37.5% chance of just like really bad.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. I just wish it were better.
Okay. So I'm just going to do it. Fuck it.
Gotcha. And to be clear, you can still ask for help. Like, you can 100% bring him back. Like, that was not me removing him from the thing. That was...
He doesn't. Yeah. He's not doing that.
Yeah, fair.
As he is running towards this thing, this void,
mm-hmm.
and he knows he is not in control while he's doing this, but as he is running, his conscious thoughts go to a few things. It goes to, they have gotten farther away from the school, and they are still changing.
Yeah.
Whatever Harrison is changing into, I mean, it's not good for Walter.
Yeah.
He is in this moment, he is accepting a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He recognizes that the reaction he had was a reaction of a prey fleeing from a predator.
Yeah.
And he realizes that this is the only thing that he has encountered since he started this transformation. This is the thing that has the answers.
Interesting.
If the answers are there at all.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So he is searching for meaning.
Okay. I feel like you framed the scene a bit.
Yeah.
Roll for me. 1d4. You need a 2 or lower. Okay. Walter, you follow this weird void eye entity all through the night. You leave behind your friend Harrison, who is changing at a rapid rate into something that might be dangerous for you, either now or in the future. You are running towards this entity that has been with you since the beginning of this change, that has terrified you, that has watched you, and at the same time, in this moment, seems to offer hope, possibly. And you follow it towards the skyscraper, towards the border cities of the sublime, and into the future. Gus, do you want to tell me what you rolled?
I rolled.
We have reached the end game. What a fucking game.
Jesus.
What a fucking game. I love this game. This game is so good.
That was so good. What an incredibly well-designed game.
Avery Alder, like, you are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't even know what to fucking say. That was beautiful.
I mean, yeah.
Whew. How do you, let's debrief a little bit. How do you feel?
I'm gonna fucking throw up is how that was very, I mean, it was really good. It was really,
yeah.
God. And like, I'm so amazed by how this turned from, like, you know, I didn't have to like keep hanging out with Harrison.
Oh yeah.
You know, that didn't have to be like a thing, but it sort of became what this little self-contained story was about.
Because, yeah, I mean, going into this, I had no idea, like, where we were going to end up.
Yeah. And,
like, I had no idea what the story was going to be. I didn't know if we were going to follow any kind of consistent, like, plot. Like, I had no idea what we were going to come out of this other than we would understand Walter's past a little better. But I think what we ended up getting was something a lot more than that. Something that definitely... Like, I think we did end up getting the insight into, like, what does it mean to change? How does that change our, you know, who we are, how we feel about ourselves, like, how it changes our actions depending on, like, what we're being changed into, and, like, just the different kind of reactions to that, like your kind of tentative embracing of it with like the kind of idea of like, well, there's hope in the future that things will get better. And like Harrison's more like, nah, this feels good. I like what is happening to me. I think that's all of that is really interesting in so many different ways.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, this is so good.
This is so good.
Thank you all for listening. This has been one hell of a journey for both me and Gus. This has been crazy. If you guys are interested in this game, you should all go check it out on buriedwithoutceremony.com. It's under the Little Games tab, I think. It's completely free. It's called Abnormal for 1 to 3 players, made by Avery Alder. It is absolutely amazing.
You got it. I don't know if we like express it well enough, like on just through audio. Like if when you please try this game. Please try this game. It is so. It is like crazy well designed.
Yeah, this was so good. Again, my name is Kendrick. You can find me on social media at Kendo Makes Films, basically on all social media. And you can follow the podcast at Tales Yet Told on Instagram and Twitter for more episode updates, more everything. And Gus, where can people find you?
You can find me on social media at August Nobby. That's K-N-O-B-B-E. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I don't really post on Instagram, but I'm on Twitter, and hopefully other stuff will, I will be on other
stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know if by this point our thing will actually, yes, by this point, the thing that you and I are planning would be out. So
right on.
Excited for that. So
cool.
Hope you guys, hope you all are enjoying that. Because it's already out now, but awesome. Thank you all so much. We will see. Don't forget to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and love yourself. You know, like we love you.
Don't eat raw birds.
Don't eat raw birds. Please don't eat raw birds.
Please don't. Yeah. This is a PSA.
This is a PSA. Don't eat raw birds. Bye.
Bye.
Be gay.
Roll dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.